following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, carrying the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is the plan today, the chair Jesus Esther.
We're broadcasting to you all the wonderful, exciting program today. An open house is being held here in the local mosque of Mars, and we'll share with some of the understandings and teachings of Islam with both the Muslims and the non-Muslims. And we welcome all of our guests. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes, and for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about a very interesting and controversial subject called Iranian terrorism. And by the way, you can visit the internet at IBN.net, that's the Tommy.net, IBN.net. And then go to IslamToday at IBM.net to send an email. So we'll begin now talking about Islam and terrorism. I'm going to say that ever since the last maybe 10 years, there's been a lot of association between the word terrorism and the word Islam. This is definitely incorrect unless you put it in the right venue. And I will tell you that the right way to look at it is to say that definitely Islam is the biggest enemy to terrorism. So if you wanted to say Islam is terrorism, this would be the proper perspective to bring it from. Islam came as a way of life, a complete way of life for the human being from the cradle to the grave, striving for him to be in total complete submission, obedience, and peace with his Lord. This is the meaning of the word Islam. Islam came as an official religion, as a noun, if you will, 1,400 years ago. But it came as a way of life from the very first person, Adam. It's not essential that a person know the Arabic language to be a person who has a good relationship with the Lord. It's essential that the person does have the correct inside. His heart and his intention have to be to his Lord. That's the meaning of Islam, to be at peace and surrender, submission, and obedience in sincerity to his Lord. He has that, then he's a Muslim. As the word Muslim, by the way, comes from the word Islam. Mu Islam instead of Islam is. Which is the prefix of the letter mean instead of the suffix er. So a Muslim, one who does Islam, can be a person who doesn't even know the word Islam, never heard the name Muhammad, never heard about peace of mind, never heard about the Quran, never even heard the word Allah. All he has to do is recognize the identity here in his system and acknowledge that and have an attitude of gratitude. If he has that, he's worshiping his God alone without partners, he has already achieved the big success. So this is the thing, the meaning of what came with Adam, peace be upon him, and every prophet after him, up until Muhammad, peace be upon him, and every one of them was sent as a warning to the people to tell them not to set up something and worship besides God. Because if they are truly worshipers of God, they will not worship what he created. That's the main focus of Islam, is what you worship. One of the tests that we've been putting as a part of our worship is that we would use whatever Allah gives us to do his commandments. And one of his commandments is that we must establish right and righteous on the earth and defend it. And we must forbid that which takes away from right and right. The first thing that comes is in Matthew chapter 3, verse 110, to say that all the beginning of the year, Jesus suggested to the law from the condemned devil, to say that before we had been gone. Who can say this when the king of the great get the nasty tongue of him to do what will put an honor on him who will call more to me in order to be left? You're the best of people raised up. He's talking to the Muslims. You're the best of people raised up. Those who called you on my roof and you forget our moon car. And you believe in Allah. Tu'minu billah. Means iman or faith in Allah. The segregation here of the belief in Allah is so strange. You mentioned that immediately because you heard two actions called for the full belief. And throughout our program, since I've been here, I've stressed over and over and over that everything in Islam is based on belief first. Everything is predicated on belief first, even the intention. In the earlier program of intention, it's predicated on correct belief. If you don't believe in Allah, your good deed is worthless. It's a wreck. It's a piece of wreckage. So, how does this relate to certain experience? I want you to listen real close and see what you think about this. I've left two words in Arabic language, and I want to come back to those. Because throughout the Quran, from Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, until Surah 104, which is the passage of time, there's a statement that means differently throughout the Quran. It's very done over and over, talking about those people who come to the right place and do good deeds. Those people who come to the right place and do good deeds. And it says, Ladina Amnu, wa Amnu, Ladina, those who have the Iman, Amnu, Iman, belief, correct belief, wa Amnu, Saha, which means the right deeds. Always the belief in Allah is first, except in this one verse. But it doesn't say Amnu, it doesn't say the amalat, or the actions of the person. What it says here is ma'ruf and munkar. Specifically using two words that are often translated in which translations, and that's how you can really do this, but I'm doing this, is to say good, call to good, and forbid evil. Call to good and forbid evil, or call to righteousness and forbid evil. But the real meaning behind it is to call to Allah and what He has ordained, and forbid anything that takes people away from the belief in God and what He has ordained. And if you understand that, that's a different meaning than just good deeds. You know, we ask the scholars of Islam, how could it be that the belief in Allah became subjugated to these particular actions? He said, because these are not regular actions. If you're not worthy to stand up and talk to what you know to be right, and you're not willing to defend what you know to be righteous, and you're not willing to stop the things which will put people in hell, you're not willing to stop the things which will destroy us on this earth, then how in the world do you claim to believe in Allah? And that became an issue for me to work on from that point forward. And then suddenly, I started to understand a lot more the depth behind this word called Al-Jihad. You're listening to the
في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إني أسألك أن تكون في ديني وفي مالي وأهلي ومالي. اللهم اصلح ذاتي وأهلي من ذاتي. اللهم احفظني من بين يدي ومن خلفي. واحمي من دون مسلمي ومن خلفي. وأعوذ بحضرتك أن أرسل
عليك. O Allah, I ask you for pardon and well-being in this moment and peace. O Allah, I ask you for pardon and well-being in my religious and worldly affairs, and my family and my life. O Allah, veil my weaknesses and set at ease my disdain. O Allah, preserve me from the front and from behind, and from my right, and from my left, and from above. And I take refuge with you, lest I be swallowed up by the earth.
We're back and you're listening to it. What is jihad? Because frequently when we talk about terrorism and Islam, the word jihad pops up, and they say, oh, that's holy war. Again, wrong. Because there is nothing in Islam about holy war. There's nothing in Islam about Adla, which means war, or battle, and Kudz, which means sacred. Sacred battle? What's that? People get killed. We're not talking about ruining somebody's life, we're talking about eating them. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 of the Quran, verse 38, it says that if anybody takes a human life, if he's good, he kills all of humanity. So it's very horrible to take a human life. The only lives permitted in Islam to take are those, and in retribution, and murdering somebody that's going around and killing people, you can take them, but you should. They won't do it anymore, and then you straight face people from the same thing. So this is acceptable in Islam. And by the way, Old Testament is very similar to the same point. I'm mentioning this not in comparative religion, but to just tell you that this is the new thing. This is not strange. That people are innocent until they're presumed innocent until proven guilty. To pronounce them, of course, that's what Latin America becomes. And they want to do comparison between the Chinese government and the government of the West, but to say that what's right is nothing. If a person is calling to God, then this is not wrong. If they're calling to righteousness, this is not wrong. But if a person is acting healthy, like drugs and prostitution and promoting rape and violence and terrorism, Munkar, that would take people away from the belief in the one true God. The thing that if you make a law that says no, you can't propagate it down here, then you have to fight against that. But you have to find a way to say what they talk about. They have to. Otherwise, why do you think you can happen? You can't even talk to them. And this place, your life becomes expendable. Because it's the only time your life is expendable when you're defending the faith and the honor and the righteousness. And you, of course, your family, you can defend your family, that's a part of it. You should defend your family. Sometimes you're back in your house, you stand and go, I just keep praying, oh God, don't let nothing happen. Oh God, don't end up. But well, you got a gun, pick it up. So well, God created everything, he could talk you through. Sure he could. Well, he could, not even put you in your tent. But it's just wrong life. But he didn't. He's here. You have a tent. You see, what will you do? So, we understand jihad from the root word, jihada. Not from the word jihad, which some mistakenly mentioned. That means to accomplish the task that you set out to do. Like build a big building or something like that. When you're all through, there's a lot of story, a lot of words, you go, we made jihad on the building. We finished it, we accomplished it. It's not the meaning. Okay? And I would say, well, jihad actually means a new struggle inside of oneself. This can be meaning, but in the Quran, it's clear, it's not talking about that. Because when it says jihad, people be in that. Bismillah means to go in the way, to deal in the way of Allah. And it doesn't mean to stand there stories, you know. So you're attacking your village, you're attacking your community, attacking your mom, and you're standing around in the Lord and saying, okay, it's not what it means. And why lie? You look like a fool. And you put down your religion, stand up and tell the truth. You can't tell the truth, don't say anything. The one who believes in Allah and the last day either say something good. Shut up. Meaning that this is one of those cases. If you can't say what's right, don't say anything. So I'm very disappointed in a lot of Muslims who stand there and apologize. First of all, doesn't have anything to do with you or me, for sure. Okay, second of all, if not Islam, so you don't have to apologize for Islam. Now, if you know something about what happened on 9-1-1, and you're holding that back, that's another story, you might be the first one to turn in. Okay? Just know that up front. Because I don't have any of these things to keep group. I'm for what Allah said, and that's it. If it works, and our government here in America is for that, then I'm for it too. That's great. But be sure Islam does not ever promote acts of terrorism, it denounces them, and in fact, we're the first ones 1,400 years ago to declare war against terrorism, and it's called jihad. That's what jihad is, it's a war against terrorism. Defense of those who are defenseless, or a protection against those who are unable to protect themselves, and a way to establish righteousness on this earth so that tyranny and the devil's workshop doesn't rule. Now, let's go to some of the details of it. Who can declare a quote-unquote jihad? And under what conditions? And where? And when? Rules cannot. That's not the word. If an individual is doing jihad, that would be on his side. That would be trying to purify his intention, cleaning up his act, praying regularly. And these are very clear meanings in this case. But as an ummah, as a nation, as a jama'ah, as a group, as a gathering, then it has to be under the leadership of one who has the bay'ah or the pledge given to him by the Muslims, and he is in authority to call for this kind of thing. For instance, I will mention in the case of Sudan and Spain, This is not also Japan that turned Gulf in the context of what they call the Gulf War, the Gulf. They call it something more like the Desert Storm. But in any case, he's saying this is bad, but none of the countries joined him, by the way. None of the Muslim countries came running to his aid, even though he said this is a jihad. And likewise, I guess Mulana Omar and Osama bin Laden was calling for something in jihad in Afghanistan. And again, they didn't find countries running over there. Although there were individuals who went, but they didn't find a mass following. And the reason is because nobody actually could be that woman with a leader who has the day out of the pledge. But be careful, by the way. Don't think that means that Muslims wouldn't come. If there were a Khalifa, a leader for all the Muslims, and he did declare such a thing, then most likely you would see something pretty heavy. But we haven't had such a thing in 80 years, since 1922, when the last Khalifa fell, and that was Ataturk. Under the infant Ataturk, it was the son of the Khalid, who was the last Khalifa, and that was destroyed by Kamal. We start the process, often known AKA as Kamal Ataturk. I'm mentioning this just so you can understand that the only one that has the authority to do that is a real Muslim leader, and the only ones who can go and answer that are those who are called upon to do it. And it says clearly in the Quran that some will go and some have to stay. We have to keep some of our scholars behind to teach the religion. We have to keep some of our men behind to protect the women, and so on. And by the way, the jihad doesn't call on the women to do anything. This is an emergency situation. It says it would be in most times. You don't put your women out on the front line. It's not common sense. You kill the women, then you don't have any way to keep your group going. I mean, if you kill all the women, you leave all the men alive. You just end the game. And just wait for the generation to take fire when they win. So the women aren't put on the front line or put in that kind of position. Although in this time of history, you can find some of the best heroes that we had in battle for women. The first woman to die, I didn't say the first martyr, first martyr, the first martyr in the clan is a woman, Sumaya, the mother of Amr ibn Yasir. Yasir is her husband, and Amr is her son. And she was the first one who was put to death because she would not give up the same. There are multiple gods of life and loser in the false worship that they had. And the Arabian community at that time. And they took her and tortured her until they ran the spear into her private parts and killed her. They didn't send the first martyr for Islam. This, by the way, shows us what a pessimist really is. If you truly believe in Allah and the message of the worship of the one who got you, we tested. And a lot of this is in chapter 20 between verse 2 and 3. Look at it for yourself. I'm going to take your review. I just give you a translation. Do they think they'll be left alone? I'm saying we believe. And if they won't be tested, for sure, as we tested those before them, we will test them to show the truth of those that are true, and to expose the liars in their falsehood. So just because somebody said, I'm a Muslim, that's not the end, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of the quest of this life. And Allah tells us again in chapter 2, in Surah Baqarah, ayah 208, he said, oh, you will be entered into this one. And do not follow the footsteps of a Satan. And the word Satan means it comes from the Arabic word Satan, which means the devil. Very clear about this subject. So it's a test. Test, test, test. Allah tells us in the Quran, you will be tested in your family, in your children, in your wives, and in the material things. They're all a test. And he used the word Satan. Describing it. Satan is a big word. Doesn't it mean test? It means calamity, big time, hardships from this test of this life. You're living to the point of the if a person can go through this life and keep focusing on Allah, no matter the hardships that come towards the name alone, then he's successful. As the Prophet ﷺ told us, he said the condition of the mu'min, the believer, is strange, because only good things happen to him. Whatever good befalls him, he's thankful to Allah.
You don't know that about me, but I can put on an act like you can't believe.
And I've got the costume and the wardrobe to go with it, man. But I travel all over the country. They give me, from Turkey, I have this long black gown thing that I can put on and a big, huge turban. From the little pillbox cap looks like pita bread on top of it. Or I know there's going to be mad with that one. From Saudi Arabia, I can put on the blue shirt. And we go over with the black moons of it. We come out there with my little beads and you can put it. I heard somebody say that about me one time. And I had on one of my quote unquote Islamic scholar dresses, you know. And this person said, "Oh man, he's so pious." I'm going, "Okay, that's it. Throw that away." Because this is damaging in this town. This is damaging when you start thinking you got something wrong with the law. You don't. That's the first step out. Islam is to start associating partners, and that's a partner of the law. You don't study this new scriptural law. We do know the thing called the Islam, which means the same Islam, and somebody who's talking to the law, and we are not doing this from 1970. But we don't know what we ultimately did, what they're earlier, who's got law. So check this out. To be clear, I'm the scholars of Islam, the leaders of Islam. Our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, told us that Allah, Almighty God, will start the fire of hell with the leaders of Islam who preached it but didn't live it. For me, I hurt and pray are not one of those people. Because the only thing different from me and somebody else may be how much knowledge I have. But then somebody else may know more than me. But what did Allah tell us about knowledge? Very clearly, folks. Allah knows what's in front of and behind His creation. Meaning, creatures have no knowledge except the knowledge that He gives. Now, will it tell me about brothers and sisters in this country? If you think knowledge is all you need to go to paradise, big problem. But I'll ask you, don't you believe that there's a devil? Isn't his name really Iblis? And didn't he exist before Adam? And didn't he make a big mistake? And didn't Allah tell him that he will go to hell if he didn't repent and make the test of the frustration and he refused? You're going to go to hell. He said, "I don't care about things. Just let me take Adam and all his sons and daughters with me." This form of the transgression. And Allah said, "Okay, take them all that you can." Okay? Now, since that time until now, Iblis is still alive. Don't you think you know something about his plan? Don't you think you know something about who he is? I ask a lot of guys to be better on me. I ask all of you to be patient with me, because I'm like you, I'm still learning too. But for sure, one thing, when we talk about Islam and terrorism, 1400 years ago, before there was even a George W. Bush in Texas, Islam already declared a war against terrorism. And may Allah make the most of them the meaning of it and act on that. And may Allah say, all of us, from a horrible condition and bring this world together in a better way than you can. You're listening to The Time Today. We're broadcasting you all the time all the way from Birmingham, Alabama. You can visit us on the internet at IBN.net. That's IBN.net. The website's open 24 hours a day and plenty of free parking.
وَأَغْفِرْ ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ فَاغْفِرْ لِي وَارْحَمْ بِي وَارْحَمْنِي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
Allah, I have indeed oppressed